because we're coming toward the shift, the big shift, the 2012 shift, and we're learning more and more about how much faster we're having to evolve these days. And what does conscious evolution look like? It looks like pulling up denser frequencies, the darker stuff that's been hidden either because of the collective or because of our own suppressive experiences. Take a look at your astrological chart. I am not an astrologer. This is not an astrology lesson. But I wanted to talk about relationships and how so often as we change and grow, we want to have the best relationships going. But it's interesting and intriguing to me that sometimes the best relationships that we've had, especially if you're on the evolutionary path, have had a lot to do with bringing up and fulfilling some kind of difficulty, some karma, some leftover soul stuff, times you've known each other before, and there are all these incompletions. And I know that astrologically, some of that reveals itself. So I was just being playful when I emailed a few people that I know that are in the astrological world, one of whom is Joyce Muse. Several of them didn't answer me. Shame on you. This would have been a wonderful thing. Of course, I'm always doing everything at the last minute. Gemini, you know. And I said, basically what I asked is, what are some of the clues and hints in our charts that tell us that we might be attracted to someone who pushes us to transform, or attracted to someone that pushes us to conform, or attracted to someone who pushes us to feel really safe and soft and never challenge anything? It's kind of interesting because if we can understand that kind of thing in ourselves, that we have a blueprint and we have these needs coming right from the soul on out to really complete and fulfill ourselves, they show in the chart. And also, we can understand that most of our relationships were successful, even if they seem to have taken us down a weird path, because they are the response, the call of the soul. Ah, your soul called each other and pulled each other together in order to accomplish something. So I was talking to Joyce Muse by email, and I asked her. Joyce Muse is an astrological wizardess, and she has a show on tonight on KNRY radio in Monterey. K-N-R-Y, like cannery. K-N-R-Y, and she's on, I think, from 7 to 9 tonight. Anyway, she was talking about her reference was Jess Stearns, and she says, of course, the thing that you and I know, which is you can't just do thumbnail things. You need the whole entire chart to see what makes somebody tick and why somebody might have met someone. However, according to Jess Stern, who's big on past lives and astrological stuff and so on, he says that we're most compatible with people of the same elements as we are. As you sleep with your partner at night, your energy body is nurtured by someone of the same elements as you, and you can be energetically drained by someone of opposite elements. So if you've got lots of fire in your chart, you need a mate with lots of fire. There would have to be a different sign, but the same elements. So it could be like Aries, Leo, or something. So the bottom line is fire feeds fire, earth feeds earth, water, water, and air feeds air. Secondarily, air complements fire and water complements earth and vice versa. Not as good as the same element, but better than, say, fire and earth or air and water. Most of us are a combination of the elements. He also said, that's Jeff Stern, that the same sign couples at first are very compatible, but as time goes on, they become neutral and don't either feed or drain each other. I have to think about that, so I'm hoping that some of you are going to call in, or I'm calling in that you call in, and we talk about your relationships and your elements, what's going on with you. Now, she also goes on to say that Venus in your chart shows what you want in a relationship. And the moon shows your emotional needs. So that's kind of interesting. Mars shows what turns you on. And it's almost impossible to pick one or two planets and say that they describe your relationship needs. Everything comes into play. If Neptune is on your Venus, it says one thing. If your Mars squares Uranus, something else. So I know that, and you probably know that too. But it's kind of fun. I was just sort of cogitating, thinking, well, if somebody has a Venus in Taurus in the seventh house, they're probably attracted to someone who really wants to do some commitment. But if they've got a Venus in Scorpio in the seventh house, and they have, for example, a lot of eighth house planets, then they probably want relationship, to attract relationship that's going to push them to transform, maybe deepen and then change and rise like the phoenix. So you can't really tell. But what my intention here was is to say that just about all our relationships have been successful if you look at it as the soul's need calling in or attracting in someone that's going to bring up that hidden drive or that hidden gift or that hidden leftover karmic doodah or so on. It's kind of interesting. Now, I'm going to call in my guides and angels. As most of you know, I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I have guides and angels, and we're going to call them in, and they like us to begin the shows with what we call the structures. Now, these are sacred geometric shapes that we concoct with our brain using our mind as a sculpting tool. And in these sacred geometric structures, you can actually create. So they're like a laboratory. They're like a study, a place to go. So we often do them at the beginning of the show in case you're a new guy. And today, my guides were saying that you can go into the structure. We can get the whole mechanism of the structure going. And you can enter it and call up on the magical screen what it is that you've come to learn through relationship in this life. You may not get the whole picture, but I'll bet you'll get some kind of tidbit. So today we're going into the structure as an adventure, as an exploration of who you really are, what's hidden deep down inside of you. And after we do our meditation of the structures, I'm hoping that some of you will call in and we'll talk about relationships, what you believe about relationships, how yours have been. I'm even going to talk about mine. Isn't that going to be interesting? Not my current one. I'll be quiet about that right now. All right. This is Veronica Entwistle, and these are my guides and angels. Their presence is such a wonderful delight. And let's feel the radiance as they enter, and they fill so much of the space from their dimensions. My guides and angels are a consortium of many, many levels of consciousness as well. All right. And now they say to us, let's call forth above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, a golden ball. And below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, another golden ball. Now draw a filament of light. It's a really beautiful, sparkling filament. Draw it from the upper golden ball in through your spine, all the way through your spine into the lower golden ball. Now you can quite often feel it crackle and excite some of your own energy as you do that. Okay. Now from the upper golden ball to about your waist, drop a four-sided pyramid and angle it so that there's a point at the front and a point at the back and a point on either side. And at each point, place another golden ball. And now from each of those golden balls, there's four of them now, front, back, side to side, drop an upside down four-sided pyramid. And now you're in an octahedron, which is an eight-sided structure. Can you feel the energy in that structure? I can. It feels, actually feels kind of masculine for me, but very vibrant. And now inside of that, you want to create a crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your structure. And inside of that, place yourself in a star tetrahedron, which is like a three-dimensional Star of David. And imagine wearing it just a little distance from your body. Stick your arms out and make your arms part of the point and your legs. And to see this as a Merkaba, or as a light body. This is a vehicle, and that you travel through space in this, and you came from one place to another. Spin and spin and spin, and you star tetrahedron, spin and spin. And as you spin and spin, prepare for that magical screen. And on that magical screen, we want to see, we want to emerge for us, a kind of a movie about what your soul journey is driving toward and how it might connect you with or attract you to certain kinds of relationships? What is it you're trying to fulfill? What is it you're trying to understand? Excellent job. Now just take a look in there. I'm getting some interesting pictures for myself. What are you getting? Now keep track. And whilst we're in the structure, now you can move along and we'll create another movie. And in this movie, I'd like to you to see yourself doing, performing, acting out, creating something that's really high on your list that you want to do or be a part of. Spin a little more in your star tetrahedron. Keep that light going. And now, beside that, I want you to bring in some of the people that you want to do healing with or see feeling healing in their world. And you know, when you're doing that, make sure you really feel what it is they're needing and they want. Well, a lot of us are empaths, we feel it anyway, so let's do it consciously. And see the lights coming toward them and how they're being lifted and held. They're in rapport with their soul's journey and their higher selves and their angels. You know, let's play something in there that makes you laugh. Something that's fun. Capital F, fun. And you go in there into this sacred magical screen and see yourself just having a blast. Good job. Now as we're going to come back out, I want you to go back into the first one and check something that you learned about your soul's journey that emerged for you. So that you could see what's going on in your soul journey. Great. Jump back into your star tetrahedron and spin a little bit more. Remember, the fields and frequencies are moving faster and faster these days. And we're supposed to be able to create the reality we want faster and faster as a result. Of course, we can't really keep the stability that we used to keep when things were moving more slowly, can we? It's like the internet is really just training wheels for our minds to move beyond that orderly relationship to time and space. And we really need to shift an awful lot of deep and dense reaction that's going on inside of our body minds. And with Jackie's group on Thursday night, I don't know how many of you are listening to that, but we're doing a lot of work to release the collective where we've accrued through centuries and centuries and centuries. Huge. And Barbara Hand Cloud, many of them talk about it, that we had big traumas as a species on this planet, and we've held huge traumatic reactions since, defensive reactions. We've held fear of being a woman, a fear of revealing your power as a woman. We've lived in the patriarchy. We've had shame. We've had abuse, all of that stuff and so on. And that's the stuff we're trying to move out of energetically so we can be light-filled beings and transform. Isn't it fun? And so when you spin in your star tetrahedron, you can really feel the energies moving up. There are there's a website called, I think it's Karen Bishop's What's Up on Planet Earth, also speaks of the shifting vibrations on the planet, to how things are changing so much, and that sometimes we get, I feel them as downloads of energy that sometimes just knock me aside, make me dizzy, and so on. Well, some of them are explaining to us, and I can see some of this too, but it's good to hear it from other people, that that there are these like huge waves of change going through the universe, and they have information in them. And Carolyn Mace talks about how that information is actually downloading our ability to create our reality more than ever before. Now, there's some discussion about whether we've been able to do that all along but just didn't know it. But I think it's what it is the frequencies are moving up, and we're able to create our reality at such a speed these days that we can actually see it, sometimes in a heartbeat. Anyway, so we're going to talk to you about your relationships. I wanted to tell the story of, first of all, I'll give you the numbers. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. 888-810-8322 if you're calling in from Canada. And on the direct line, it's 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. Now, my point of talking about relationships today was that it's very healing to discover the point in your relationship, how you shared, and so on. So I was telling somebody said, why did you marry a second husband? My first husband died, and I don't want to go into that whole relationship now because it takes too long. Makes me cough, I guess. My second husband, it was interesting because I was recovering from having been widowed. My whole life changed, and I got really broke. I had a tremendous initiation, which led me to being an intuitive, which I was not before. And all of that came from a lot of meditation, a lot of walking, breathing, yoga, food, studying foods, workouts, read, study. And I also was doing interviews of alternate healers, and I was doing some cable television productions. Now, this was 35 years ago. And I was very single, and I was making lists and doing affirmations, lists of things I had to change in myself so that I could evolve enough to be a great person in a relationship. So I was ferrying this fellow who's a crystal teacher around Vancouver, where I was living at the time. And he... he was teasing me. He said, how come you're single? It doesn't make any sense to me. Of all the people I've met, you just don't seem like that kind of person. And I said, well, I have this checklist. I've got to change myself so much so I will be worthy of a relationship. And this guy almost fell out of the car. He laughed so hard. He laughed and laughed. I said, well, thank you very much. What are you laughing at? And he said, well, really, you're going to grow in relationship, not outside. So there you are, head bent, trying to make yourself better, but you need to be in relationship to do that. That kind of made sense, so I went home and did a lot of affirmations about relationship, and I had 4 dates the following weekend. And the other thing I had learned metaphysically is that we're going to create dynamically. We're going to create our reality, and that love heals, and healing works, and la la la, and I was very zealous. Anyway, we also learned you put the cart before the horse. Don't do things normally, because normal is the old convention. It just doesn't work. So I met who was going to be my next husband, and he has wonderful big brown eyes, but I could tell he was in terrible pain. And I was still, as I say, recovering from my widowhood. And I looked at him and went, uh-oh, he looks like he's really hurting. And I thought, oh, you put the cart before the horse. And when you're in relationship, you automatically are going to heal each other. I knew that. That's what I've been taught, right? So I was driving to the ocean one day because I was going to do my 6-mile daily walk with my meditations and visualizations and talking to the herons and all that. And I was listening on my little radio to, as I went to park my car, I heard this funny little blurb. It was wonderful. It was all about how there are healing clinics on the Dead Sea. And this healing clinic's were for psoriasis. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I'm listening to this thing on the psoriasis clinics, and I go, I've been doing all these interviews. I want to go over to Israel and see that. So the next day, this fellow that I had known by this time for 3 months said, I'm taking a job as an engineer over in Israel. Want to come? I said, yep, because I really wanted to go over and be published. You know, I wanted to go and take a look at the psoriasis clinic. I wanted to float on my back in the Dead Sea. I wanted to see all about, I knew they had these amazing black muds where people would roll around in the mud and they heal arthritis and all that. So I said yes. So that was the beginning of our relationship. And the interesting thing about it is he and I pushed each other, and we grew and grew out of our pain, out of our suffering, out of our healing. But eventually, obviously, the contract was done because he wasn't going any farther, and I was just whirling along, wanting to be an intuitive, be on the radio. I had all these things in my mind. It's really interesting. But what really cracks me up about it is we had a child, a surprise child, very surprised, and this weekend I was helping her move. She's 23 years old, and one of her biggest problems is psoriasis. And it didn't hit me until Sunday, and I went, oh my gosh, that's why I went to Israel with him in the first place, was because of the psoriasis clinic. And our daughter has psoriasis. So I figure there's quite a synchronicity in there, and I can't quite figure out what it really means. But I do know that he and I really helped each other a lot, and of course then we had a child. So when I look at our charts, I'm very much Gemini, and he has his Venus in Gemini, and he's very much a Cancer, and I've got my Venus in Cancer, and my Venus in Cancer is in the ninth house, which means I got to have a big backyard, I got to get out there and take a look at the world and so on. Other than that, I really don't know all of the reasons that we're together, but I know that it was a magnetic draw. And like with a lot of you, here's somebody else saying, I asked for some comments about relationship and I only received a couple. But one of them said, it's amazing how I can feel both emotionally desirous of my mate and at the same time be telling myself he's just not my type. I don't like what he does or how he walks. I'm attracted to him, but I don't know why. It's not his looks. It's not his mind, but when I feel his presence, I am connected. When I think of him, an inner voice says, I love you. And I say, wow, where on earth is that coming from? What? I think this is hilarious. Well, what do you think it means? I mean, to me, it means that they're supposed to be together. And I remember way back before I met my second husband, we were all learning that, you know, when you're being attracted from the soul on out, you know, I had a body type I really liked, was a Mick Jagger type, right? He was just moving all the time, and he was very wiry. I never have had a man like that. And apparently, according to what we learned in those days, because the body type that you really are attracted to is probably not coming from the soul. It's probably coming from some ego thing. So she's got some idea of what her man should be looking like and being like, but she's supposed to be with this guy. I can tell. Can't you? She feels that draw to him, and I feel like we're pulled together. Once I broke up with a fellow because I knew I had to, 2 years later, I'm still thinking about him. I couldn't seem to recover from it, and I knew that it was a huge soul attraction. So this other friend of mine who might even be listening to the radio right now said to me in a cheeky fashion, aren't you over him yet? Didn't you get through that yet? And I said, what about you and your partner? You've been together for about 15,000 years. When we look at the souls coming together in relationships, we have to be really, I believe this, to be really respectful of whatever the drive is that's really pulling us together at the time. And this woman, when I'm looking at it psychically, I hope you're listening. I'll say your name. Your name is Martha. Martha, when I'm looking at your relationship, I'm going, you and this fellow have a lot of work to do. You've been married before. And also, he has been kind of a teacher to you. We talked about souls coming together with incompletions or unfinished business. But there's something that she's going to polish in herself because of her relationship with him. Now, he's not coming in with a box of shiny rags and shining her up. It's not that. It's that the experiences that they're having together is helping her clarify her purpose and her need, and she's completing two different lives. Now, I don't know if it's like that, you complete one life at a time, but it sounds like I'm saying that. But what I mean is she's completing issues from two different lives where she suppressed some of her own personal power as a result of being in a relationship with him. And I want to say over the air, because nobody really knows you anyway, that it's not the most intimate relationship that I've seen in a certain way, but it is one of consort, of holding each other in respect, especially while she grows. I don't know if he's all that worried about growing, but I know that he is extremely respectful of what it is she has to do in this lifetime. And you know what? That's the soul saying, come on, we got work to do. Come on, we got work to do. I may not look like your Prince Charming, but honey, I really am. The guy you're with or the woman you're with is really the one you're supposed to be with until you're finished whatever it is. And how can you tell when you're finished? Well, I know with my second husband, how I could tell was whenever we had dissonance between us, it was like we were spiraling and our two spirals would move away from each other. And I would wait. I was very intuitive, and I hadn't yet been a psychic, but I was getting that way. And I'd watch the spirals that each of us are and represent pull away, and then I'd watch them. Just thanks for your call. Just be a minute. I'd watch them spiral away, and then I'd watch them spiral back. And I'd watch them spiral away at times, and I'd watch them spiral back. And I had a kind of confidence that it was always spiraling back. But then there was a feeling deep down in me after I'd become both an intuitive and graduated in radio and was getting our daughter going. I found the spirals coming apart, and I knew they could not go back. We were done. The contract was done. The job was done, whatever that was. And our tryst was broken. And I think you can usually feel that at some level. Some people have a harder time, and sometimes it's more draggy, like I said about the other person I broke up with. Anyway, you're on the air talking about relationships, I hope. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm still spinning in my chakra.
Well, keep going. How are you doing?
It makes me dizzy. So do I sit still while the tetrahedron spins around me?
I feel this, that you, the way I'm seeing it, and of course this is very artistic and you're an artist so you understand. I feel like when you stick your arms out and your legs apart, you can feel like, even though that's only, you can feel like you're emanating your star tetrahedron. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I feel like it's part of me. After doing this for a long period of time, I now feel like it's a part of me. It's my light body. And so I spin it. I spin with it. And I, too, get dizzy. Sometimes I always say, don't do it standing up, because I spin and get real dizzy.
Yeah, I don't like being dizzy. So I kind of, I'm sitting still and everything's spinning around me, you know, like, so maybe that. Maybe you personalize it a little.
Have you ever done spinning as a meditation? Have you people at home done spinning as a meditation? Where you look at your thumb and you spin, you keep focused on your thumb and you spin up to 20, 21 times.
Wow.
I've done that before, and I think there are five exercises for longevity that come from China. It's one of those. And you
so
spin.
When you're at the end of this meditation, do you end it before you go on to other things, or do you just kind of just live in there?
you end it. Well, you start walking in circles. You end it. You come back in your tetrahedron,
okay.
You give yourself a couple more spins, and then get out.
And then you pop out. Okay,
yeah.
Good. I just wanted to clarify that part. And then, of course, the relationship part.
Now, what did you learn when you went in there?
Well, that I'm a divine being and I deserve better. I deserve to be treated as a divine person.
Okay, so what does that tell you about the relationships you've had?
Well, why would I do it five times, though? And why do I have to do something so mean and hard five times? At least five times.
Because you didn't get it. You didn't get your empowerment yet.
Oh, brother.
And the thing about you is I know this young lady, Juniper, wonderful Juniper, and you had several other issues that had to be dealt with in this life. Am I right?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's not the only...
But they all tie into that main divinity piece, I think, don't you?
Exactly. All of them were pushing you to finally extricate yourself from that which pulls you in like a slough and keeps you defined by things that are not yourself, right?
Right, right. And trying to look for that confirmation outside myself rather than in me.
Right, and most of us find it really hard to define ourselves because it's so murky in there sometimes, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
But that's a drag. I had to do it 5 times to be totally destroyed before I got it.
Well, you know something that's really interesting, and people at home, I want you to do this as well, is go into the structure with each of those relationships and ask to be shown what value you got from each one, because my reading on you is that they weren't all the same. What was the same is the destructive element, but there was
right.
a cultivation of aspects of your light in several of them. Even the one that was really difficult at the end that kept coming and going. There was a cultivation of your awareness,
sure.
for example, of indigenous patterns, right?
Sure.
I mean, there was a gift in each one as well as a pain in the neck.
mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. I was just curious why I would do something like that 5 lifetimes, why would he follow me from another planet to this planet to keep this? I mean, does that make him like a negative energy person, or he?
No, it means that you're just cellularly bonded, and you have to extricate yourself from him.
Yeah, I am.
And did you hear me say the thing about the friend saying, "Are you still attached to
yeah.
him?" And I'm saying, "Well, what about
yeah.
you?" And yeah, it's we can't
yeah,
tell.
500 lifetimes.
What?
Yeah, the 500 lifetimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to,
yeah.
it's that, and I guess, but the point of my story today is to say that we can honor those situations and say they are actually perfect as far as us extricating ourselves from that huge collective goo-gah that's kept us from being in our power, you know?
Super duper, yeah.
All right, so
yeah.
you just keep spinning, girl. Just hold on to something.
Thank you. I'm really glad I'm listening to BBS. It's great.
All right, take care.
And Jackie's show last week was really, it answered so many questions for me.
Yeah, that was a very good show, wasn't it?
I found it really informative.
So everybody get the archives of Jackie's last week's show, which is ET Healing.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Blessings.
Blessings. Now that's really interesting too, because we get so entwined soul to soul. And some of us are kind of split from the same soul. Some of us come in with the same soul grouping. Somebody did a reading for my current partner, and I said that we're people of the rock. I have to kind of give myself a little more time in the structure to consider that. But some of us have come with very, very deep roots one within the other. And just because you grow together doesn't mean you need to stay in an abusive condition together. You know, it's really interesting. So I want you all to do an exercise right now. I want you to take a minute, take a deep breath, wrap yourself in light. I always like to ask for help from my guides and angels. And I want you to wrap yourself in light, remember, because I can pick up your energy and you can pick up mine, and we don't want to do that. This is about house cleaning, not filling. So wrap yourselves in light. Now I want you to call up all the energy that comes from your significant other right now. If you don't have a partner, an intimate partner, pick somebody that's really close to you, a child, a parent, a relative, a good friend. I'm going to ask to feel and exaggerate all the energy that comes from my soul contract with my relationship. And exaggerate it. Good. Exaggerate it. Now you notice where it is in your body. I want you to really notice that. Mine's really funny because it's making my left foot dead. These are really funny things. They're hilarious. Sometimes an earlobe will just go nuts. I want you to exaggerate where it is in your body and pay attention. Now let's ask for help as we command total release of this person's energy now. Command total release of this person's energy now. Now what happens? Sometimes it pulls out of your body, or you can feel it sloughing off your body. What mine's doing is systematically kind of buzzing and pulling out. Buzz, buzz, buzz. What's yours doing? Call in. I want to hear from you. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322 from Canada. I guess I said those fast, huh? U.S. 877-876-5227 from Canada. 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. So what happened when you did some clearing there? The other thing you can do at the end of it is shoot a whole bunch of golden. You can use a spiraling platinum light, or you can just use golden light and swish it through your body. I call it the light gargle. Swish it through your body to make sure that that energy that moved stays off your body. Now, very often what can happen is you can resolve those hookups. You know, it's what we're talking about is we get a lot of information within ourselves from being attracted to certain people. And yet, we don't have to keep those hookups. Because if the point is to get together and have your awareness of things that you've been hiding from inside of yourself, some old, oh, I don't know, self-esteem issues like Juniper's saying, the abusive stuff, the self-esteem issues, the giving self away, like a lot of us are people pleasers, and we give ourselves away over and over again. Maybe we're learning that in our relationship. Maybe we're learning that we have to have muscles in order to be creative because our partner doesn't want us to, but it's in our soul journey to be creative. So the theme builds up, and finally you have to be creative. See what I'm saying? What did you learn by pulling it out? Because all of these things are really, really helpful. Now I'm going to get you to do the same exercise, and I'm going to get you to bring up somebody who's perhaps a child. Pull in a child that you're very close to, whether it's your own child, or a mythical child, or someone else's child, or a grandchild, or a nephew, or a niece, or something. Yeah, somebody you're specifically attached to. Wrap yourselves in light. Wrap yourselves in light. And I want you to call up all the energy of that child in your body, mind, emotional self, and exaggerate it. Call up all the energy of that child. Now, some of you are feeling kind of an expansion. Some of you are feeling a weight, a density. Some are feeling kind of a combination. I'm getting it in my nostrils. Isn't that funny? My nostrils are all buzzing. So I think this is hilarious. And exaggerate it. Bring up more and more of it. I want all the energy that comes from my soul contract with this little child. Now, what I picked is my grandson, who's only 3.5. And what's interesting to me is the weight and intensity of his soul with mine is just as strong, great, and thank you for your call, I'll be with you in a minute, is just as strong as if he were a big man, because this person has a big soul connection with me. And whilst I'm doing it, I'm able to see certain things about his rapport with my soul. I wonder what you're experiencing. So let's call in our guides and angels and ask for help as we command total release of this person now, total release. And then swish yourself out with light. Yeah, do a good job. Swish yourself out with light. Excellent. So wonderful. We have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Sasha.
Hi, Sasha. How are you, darling?
I'm very well.
Thank you for calling from Canada.
From Vancouver. I had to call. When you said the word Vancouver, I had to call. So I was doing the exercise just
mm-hmm.
before
mm-hmm.
about calling in a relationship and then feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this exercise a few times recently because I know this one. And I've been doing this with my friend Albert, who I told you about.
Right.
And, of course, the experience is really strong in my heart. That's where I feel it really, really strongly.
And as Albert, tell people at home, he's not your significant other, but you would like that, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But the release of it, of the energy, is, it has a flavor of being sad to release it.
I can see that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the question is, what is your question?
Well, it's, I guess, more understanding of this relationship, because I find it has a lot of different levels. And it's one that I don't want to turn my energies or attention from, because I believe that there's a significant amount of healing going on.
Did you hear the part where the guys were talking about how, you know, some were drawn to relationships? This is a very successful relationship, Sasha. So you're drawn to him in a very deep way, and there's a matchup going on. And it's going right down your, from your clavicle, right down, you know, that little V at the you know, just below the throat,
right,
your spine, right down there, and it's curving past your heart rib cage. Is really huge, and there's an attachment there, and I'm saying to you, he's bringing up a really huge, huge energy in you and your soul journey about not being I don't know if it's not being able to love or not being lovable. I think it's not being able to love, and I know you're really loving. So it's kind of like he's serving, as if you were in an intimate relationship, he's serving you to bring up some issues about relationship. And yes,
right,
it's very sad to release beings that we'd like more from, but it's interesting because as you release, he feels better. This is true for everyone that we're releasing. He feels better, he feels clearer, and the potential of those vibrational pulls that are yanking people into place, that gets released. So then a person might turn to you and make a different decision about you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But the sadness is really important because I've never seen it this way before, Sasha, and it's very, very deep in your soul journey. It's not just about him.
No, it feels very strongly about me, but in reflection and mirror of what he's doing. Like, I don't know that I could do this without him there, and I don't know that I want to do this without the wonderful presence of him there. It's very strangely paradoxical.
But it's interesting because we're all activators for one another's stuff, if you will, right? So he's bringing you to a clarity and a freedom in your heart that you have not had. And as you do the calling up and exaggerating and then the clearing, you can perceive at a much better level who you are and what it is you're doing. And so can
now,
he.
I'm activating something for him?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because you're pulling away the need or the stickiness that we all have because of past life things or incompletions. This is a big tie-in with that sadness in your dad, for example. So that sadness that's coming up in not only you, other people as well, is not just about the being that we're clearing, it's about our history, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you see he's being a vehicle and an activator for that, and it's pulling up other people. So the recommendation would be, if we were actually working right now, it would be keep going and keep doing it and keep doing it, and you're going to find morsels of that, bringing up more morsels that have to do with many different people. And the more clearing you get, or the more dominant you get over it, so it's not running your subconscious, the greater the healing for you and all these other people.
Right.
You know? So it's a good call. I'm really glad you called.
Well, I'm really glad that you were there for me to call. Thanks very much.
Say hi to Vancouver.
I will. Say hi to you and love to your family.
And you too. Thanks, Sasha.
Bye.
Bye. So do you get what we were saying there is that if we can really accept the relationships that we've been in, no matter how they seem or look or disappointing and so on, and really drop in there and pull them up and feel them. And I know Jackie's been talking this as well. If we can bring up, like I could bring up my, I'll go back to my second husband because that's what I was talking about. If I can call him up and feel him and feel obstructions in energy flow that we had in common, which show where we were dynamically attracted or magnetized to one another from past life situations, and keep clearing those, he gets clearer and clearer as I do the work. It's a great way to argue, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, my next show is called Paradigm Shifters, as many of you know, and our paradigm shifter is really an exciting person this week. He's a UFO researcher. He's been doing research on UFOs for well over 60 years. I mean, this guy is really amazing. And it's a pre-recorded interview. We recorded it on Sunday. And it's, I was hoping we could keep him going and interesting. And I'll tell you what, he could keep me going for years. It was so irresistible. But what he was talking about was very special. Just like Michael Newton's books on Journey of Souls, he was talking about life, for example, in the Pleiades, the Pleiadian beings, and how their healing is not the same, but they believe in the creative, even in their artwork, they believe that God is in the creations that they do with and through, for example, wood or glass or crystal or stone or whatever, that's God, that the expression of God is through all these different formats, and that is God. And they believe in creating their life and their reality like we do. And what we're talking about clearing, is actually preparing ourselves to be more and more conscious. It's conscious evolution. It's more and more conscious about what we're creating, because our subconscious goes around and creates, well, we don't even know it because we're unaware of what's going on there. So we try to bring it up energetically. But when he's talking about how the Pleiadians create their reality, he's talking about people living in a much higher frequency reality and not being quite as congested as we are with these heavier messages. Anyway, I really recommend that you stay tuned for, his name is Wendell Stevens, and just an amazing man and a fount of knowledge on who are in the UFOs? What are they doing? It's pretty interesting stuff, so stay tuned if you can. You've been listening to Radiance by Design, and I loved your calls. I'd love it if you email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Give me some feedback on what you've learned about yourself or what you experienced in the show, or if you've got shows that you would prefer to hear and some ideas that you'd like me to use. But also, I do some pretty amazing work because of my guides and angels. They coach me all the time. If you'd like a session with me, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or phone me, 510-595-5564, 510-595-5564, and I sure would love to talk to you. Also, Thursday night, I don't know what Jackie's going to talk about this week, but I'll tell you what, her program is ET Healing. It's on at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio. And her team, she's been channeling her team most of the time lately, and it's very wonderful how they talk about life and reality and how our life experiences really come together in our consciousness. Because hers is called Explorations in Consciousness, ET Healing, and Explorations in Consciousness. My role is more to be a sidekick or a stabilizer or whatever. I call it the Ed McMahon, but sometimes I get a little lively there. Love you to listen in. And now next week's paradigm shifter is an amazing man, David Rosensweet, Dr. David Rosensweet. You can check his website, davidrosensweetmd.com. And he's going to talk about hormones. He's got a wonderful book out, and his book is all about dealing with menopause. But also, he knows a whole lot more than that. So, for example, if you're going through hormonal imbalances, he goes in, he's a holistic doctor, and he goes in and checks what's going on in your soul journey. And we're talking about relationships and soul journey. He goes and talks and works with you on your soul journey and what's not coming out that your soul's really aching to put forward. It's going to be a very interesting interview, and that's next Tuesday, 5 p.m., here on wonderful BBS Radio. Our music is by Amrita Cottrell. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, Thank you so much for listening. Many, many blessings. Much love.